This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05 in the evening. Our first story of the hour is about TVET. So Muhammad Khair Razman Muhammad Anwar, Director General of the Manpower Department, has basically said that the perception that the course is, you know, a second-class education or, you know, as not preferred, I suppose, it needs to change.
So he drew comparisons to developed countries where highly skilled manpower is produced through TVET courses rather than regular academic education. The Education Ministry last year promised to make TVET the first choice of education for students by 2023. Mazli Malik, however, said that there are things that need to be addressed before that can be achieved. The issues include governance of TVET, the rating systems across both public and private TVET institutions, and the quality of the programs.
A lot of this, I think, is going to come down to it's a welcome thing, right? I mean, we're always talking about trying to get employable graduates. We're always saying that the main focus here, and especially with issues of the unemployment ratings among youth, it is of huge concern. It is tremendously important. But that point about the quality and relevance of the program, I think, is also very, very crucial, because otherwise you're teaching skills that aren't necessarily what people need to thrive in a career. So if you're not going to be addressing that, if people don't know or understand that you can make not just a living, right, but actually a lucrative living, a good living out of it, then I think it's a bit difficult to get that perception to change up until that point.
Yeah, and I think that the idea also is to change the perception that these jobs can't grant you job satisfaction. I think these jobs can grant you high jobs, the levels of job satisfaction, right? They have a lot of courses that I think I didn't really consider to be TVET, and some of them, I guess they're not all glamorous in equal value, right? Like a pilot is considered a vocational skill and a vocational job, where as opposed to the idea of the glamour associated to being a plumber or an electrician, both very important jobs, both with high earning potential, just that they don't seem to match in how, you know, fancy it looks, I guess.
Yeah, and yet fanciness shouldn't necessarily be the case. And then after that, you know, I think we're going to end up talking about whether or not our plumbers or electricians or, you know, our carpenters, for example, are being paid fairly.
Yes.
And then that's a whole separate conversation. But in the meantime, we're crossing over now to YB Nurul Izzah, the MP for Pematang Pau, to give us her perspective. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. So on that phrase, right, the idea of TVET being a second-class education, why has that perception, you think, persisted for so long?
I think this is not a new issue. Partly the reason cited through the many studies, whether it's from PwC or Boston Consulting Group over the years, is the gap between TVET holders, graduate degree holders, as well, I mean, versus their degree counterparts. So you talk about one third of what someone who went through university can earn upon graduating. So certainly it's reinforcing that kind of negativity, the prejudice that if you come from a TVET institution, you're not as qualified, you know, you're laden with debt under the PTPK scheme, which is a loan scheme, and you hardly make ends meet, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And majority of the TVET students from B40 group. So it's you know, considered structural problem. And I think we do need to accept, in order to embrace a better future for Malaysia, you know, meeting the demands of the fourth industrial revolution, TVET will be a pivotal part of the formation of a capable human capital. So it has to change.
How has this perception affected enrollment in TVET courses?
So there's many factors affecting enrollment because, you know, right now we don't have one main accreditation body. JPK, which usually gives off licensing and approval for TVET courses, sits under the Ministry of Human Resources. So for TVET institutions operated by under the Ministry of Education, you know, most parents send them over, but the perception is, well, you know, after 4 or 5 years, will they be able to get a job that is, you know, reflective of the years they spent studying? And is it enough to even help them pay the bills, especially considering they have to support their families and homes? So, you know, there are many factors. One is, of course, the different divisions managing TVET. The other is the range in quality of the courses offered. And, of course, the third is the issue of whether the courses are meeting the needs of the industry or it's basically pushed by the institutions with the connecting to the industries that are in need of TVET graduates.
And how do we get all that aligned? Because to my mind, that is mostly linked in. That's mostly linked ultimately to what is wanted in the end, right? Which is the ability to earn, as you say, earn well, basically, support yourself. And understanding what that earning potential is also linked to the fact that you're meeting industry needs, you're meeting the needs of, you know, positions that are in fact open. How do we get all those things aligned?
So that's why we did a 6-month session with many stakeholders. We went through the many studies. I think even the Ministry of Human Resource, they just commissioned a study to be done by the PricewaterhouseCoopers. So there's so many blueprints, honestly, and they're really useful. I feel at the end of the day, you need a single authority, a single agency, and I propose the setting up of a commission to monitor all TVET institutions and ensure that they are deeply linked with industries and, you know, to meet industry demand. So, again, you need only one accreditation body, right, which is sitting on top of all the ministries, so that if a TVET institution is controlled by the Ministry of Defence, you have this commission that's able to close it down, monitor quality, making sure without fear or favor, the most important parameter is quality. So I don't see any shortcut. There requires, you need political will to initiate this. You can't be dependent on TVET just to gain more profit. It has to be really focused on producing a workforce that meets the demands of industries. So I have given this the bill to set up a commission to the both Ministry of Education as well as Human Resource, and I leave it to them to either tweak or change according to the desires of the cabinet. But I believe there's no shortcut. You see, if you go elsewhere, whether it's Australia, the UK, they will only have one single authority, yeah, monitoring all TVET institutions. In Malaysia, it is really quite a maze, to put it mildly. So I believe once you have a clear-cut way to manage the quality, then, of course, the students will feel, you can easily change the curriculum to meet the demands of the different companies and industries.
What lessons can we take from the other TVET programs that are conducted in other countries?
I love Finland's motto. The motto goes, implementation is the best strategy. So we have really about 4 to 5 reports. You know, the World Bank has studied our TVET institutions. You have Pemandu previously. I think right now it requires this mammoth undertaking of just making sure we can monitor all the existing institutions under a particular commission. And then it's easier to make certain decisions. Once ministries control different institutions, it's very difficult to close down a certain underperformers or even merge different institutions, or even change based on the different SKM levels, yeah, or the curriculum levels that are offered. Our TVET institutions are up to level 6, whereas in Germany, it's really ramped up further. So that will also require certain amendments under the law. So for me, the easy answer is really having a commission placed in under Parliament. Because this is the heart of the economy. Okay, people speak about TVET. I think even previous Prime Minister spoke about it to meet the demands of the fourth industrial revolution. So you do need to bite the bullet. You know, there's no shortcut. So I hope that it can be done, because the fate of so many youth, especially those from the bottom 40, is dependent on the readiness to implement fundamental and meaningful changes.
And as we wait, hopefully, for those changes to come about, I guess, just to bring it back to the original statement, right, which is this idea that, hey, you know, the perception surrounding TVET courses need to change. Do you think that that's happening? Do you see that shifting already? Is there growing interest in it, aside from the conversations that are happening, you know, on a political policy level, among the people who are actually going to join TVET courses or looking at options? Do you see that perception changing?
You know, I myself experienced so much optimism, you know, by the stakeholders. You take into account those in the Jabatan Pembangunan Kemahiran or even NUDP. There's so many of them who really believe and who really want to do their part, right, to change things. But at the end of the day, because it's really sporadic in nature, and the fact of the matter is you have also certain institutions under the purview of certain ministries which are not really meeting the basic benchmark of quality. So then, for me, there are definitely signs of things that can be improved further. There's a readiness for change. People, there is fervor to make TVET number one choice. I'm optimistic. But I think we also need to be cognizant that it is not a piecemeal effort per se. There's already discussions between MQA as well as JPK, two different accreditation bodies. Yeah, one manages the university programs, the other manages the institutions, TVET institutions. There's already ongoing discussions, including with the Malaysian Board of Technologists, which is great, yeah? But at the end of the day, all these moving parts must be monitored and must be viewed holistically in order to ensure one enhances the other. If not, it would be difficult to sort of keep abreast of, you know, who's doing what and how can we best utilize and leverage on the efforts that's currently taking place.
YB, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for bringing TVET to the fore.
That was YB Nurul Izzah, the MP for Pematang Power, speaking to us, of course, about what needs to happen for TVET to move forward. We also want to hear from you. What do you think about the statement that we need to stop regarding TVET as a second-class education? Is that perception changing? Do you think that it's going to come down to really just that change in perception? Let us know. Call us 7733 2900. WhatsApp us 0187898899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
And earlier also we were talking on the subject of TVET and how to kind of change the perception that it is a second class education. And Sivan says the system or method for academically challenged students in our neighbouring country is all children follow normal academic lessons till the sixth year. And then they're streamed as, 5-year academic education, 4-year academic education with normal GCO levels, or I believe it's known as the trade stream. These students obtain N-level certificates at the end of their 5-year education with a combination of technical and academic lessons being covered. And then if they academically improve during their time in the trade stream, they can take the normal O-level exams, and those with N-level certificates can also go on to obtain diplomas and degrees at later stages.
Yeah, and I think that's such a that's an idea that we could look into as well, because sometimes I feel that as if you are kind of locked into a certain job or a certain pathway the moment you have to make that choice in high school, right? In this case, if say you improve, then you can move on to another one, or if you choose to stay on, there's still other options you can explore in your tertiary education.
It sounds as if essentially what needs to happen is more flexibility and then a centralized system. That's been coming through pretty strongly,
yeah,
both in terms of what YB Nurul Izzah said earlier, as well as the messages that are being sent, right? Basically, you need to see a centralization of the course because otherwise you can't improve standards fundamentally. But on the flip side of that, you also need to see more flexibility being allowed in terms of what the courses permit you to explore, not just in terms of the vocation, but I think in terms of your avenues, right? How do you further your studies?
Yeah, and I think going back to that point also, you know, 1 week in politics is long, as Andrew Aria pointed out earlier, but then in the case of TVET, 1 year could mean so much change to the student, right? Then if they are stuck in a place where they can no longer maneuver and decide to, hey, maybe I'm not so interested in trade school, I want to pick up science, then they couldn't do so. And that's not fair to the student, I believe.
Do you have any thoughts on TVET no longer being a second-class education? Let us know by calling us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.